the title of my message this morning is Trouble Up Ahead. And you're like, oh, great. I hope, though, that you leave feeling, I got this. You know, when I was a little girl growing up in Sydney, Australia, one of the things I loved to watch every 4 years was the Olympic Games. I love the Olympic Games. I love watching athletes perform in peak condition and do things that you don't think a human body can do. My favorite sport is the equestrian. I love to see a horse and rider move together. Unless you know anything about horses, you'll never understand how difficult it is to do equestrian. I love swimming. I love track and field, gymnast. I mean, I just love it all. This year, as I was watching the Olympics, there was one young woman that just got my attention. Her name was Sydney McLaughlin Lavroni. Anyone know of or see or watch Sydney McLaughlin Lavroni? I'll tell you why she got my attention is because she talked about glorifying God. She could not stop talking about, I'm here for the Lord Jesus. I'm like, I want to know a bit about her. I actually watched her semi-final, and then I watched her final. She does the, for those of you who don't know, she does 400-meter hurdles. Anyone done hurdles in your lifetime? As a kid, I ran track. I've done hurdles. I want you to know, just to get over a hurdle is a... Yeah. 400 meters of hurdles, where they count the steps between the hurdles. I thought, oh, I want to know more about this girl. Then I watched the final, and I'm standing up in front of the TV. Go, baby, go! Go, baby, go! Watched her take gold and break a world record in the 400 meters. I then found out as I went to her Instagram page that she'd written a book in 2023. The title of the book is called Far Beyond Gold. As I read her book, it's the journey of her feeling this compelling to run. She is a gifted runner. She also got gold in the, they did the 400 meter relays and the US women's team got gold as well. But as I read her book, I could hear this journey of following and finding Christ. The reality of what had happened to her. See, she'd been brought up in church and she'd been going through the motion. She knew of God, but she didn't really know God. Oh, the challenge that sometimes we all feel as we have come to church and we're in church and we're doing what we believe to be right, and yet we don't really know him. Like, know him in such a way where you go, Lord, my life is in your hands completely and totally. And as I read her story, see, I just thought these people are gifted. They get on a track, someone trains them, they might have an injury, boom, off they go. And win a race, sometimes a medal, sometimes a championship. What I didn't understand was the anxiety that would grip a hold of her heart before every race that almost took her out, where she'd be calling her dad, Dad, I can't as a 16-year-old, I can't do it. And her dad's talking her off the ledge. What I didn't understand, that there would be heartbreak. A dad that needed a heart transplant in the middle of this, training that's not working, weight races that are lost, and a journey of athletic that is just not coming together. It reminded me, our girls, our staff girls have been walking through the book of Acts the last 5 or 6 months. Can I tell you, church, the book of Acts, as we have read it, has changed our lives. As we began to see what the disciples and the New Testament writers walked through, so that you and I could be sitting here today. The price they paid, what they put up with. And as I read Sydney's story, it reminded me of the Apostle Paul in a passage that our staff girls had read together. In Acts 20, 22 to 24, it says this. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem. He was in Ephesus with the Ephesian church, a place in Turkey. They loved him there. But now the Holy Spirit's leading him somewhere else. I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. Yikes. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. I want to talk about those couple of verses. First thing Paul says is compelled by the Spirit. What does it mean to be compelled by the Holy Spirit? It means he felt it necessary. As the Ephesian church who loved him, who gathered around him, who prayed for him and cried, because Paul, we don't want you to go and we don't want you to face this hardship. He goes, please don't. The Holy Spirit is compelling me. I first remember feeling the compelling of the Holy Spirit when I was a teenager in high school. I was walking, I'd become a Christian a year or so before. That was great, but I didn't go to church. My parents didn't go to church, so I'd accepted Christ. And I'll never forget the day I was walking in the hall and all of a sudden I just felt this compelling. You need to go to church. I felt this deeming it necessary, I got to be there. Years later, I would be grateful for that compelling because that same voice came to me and said, you're about to move to the United States. Will you go? You see, the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding us. Paul senses it. He's overwhelmed by it in a good and bad and a hard way because he knows there's hardship. And that's kind of a gospel that we're not really comfortable with. Well, the Holy Spirit's taking us on a journey and there's going to be hard times ahead. And can I just say to you, life with or without God, there are hard times ahead. We're born on this planet. There's going to be trouble, there's going to be hardship, there's going to be trials. In fact, Scripture says to us, count it all joy, because guess what happens in the trial? Your faith life gets exposed, doesn't it? Hey, have you ever found yourself saying things and thinking, I can't believe that's where I'm at? But when it's exposed, you have an opportunity to go, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. So the message of the gospel is that the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding us, and there will be trouble up ahead. And that's the second thing he talks about, trouble up ahead. There's going to be hardship. I'm going to be in prison. Is that just what in the world is going on here, Paul? See, I've come to realize you're either just come out of trouble, you're in the middle of trouble, or hello, you're about to go through trouble. But somehow our Christian culture tells us if our life looks perfect, if our family is all together, if I've got the incredible career path, if I've got the perfect bank account, yada, 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 then God is for me. But if I'm facing challenge and hardship, then where is God? He doesn't care. He doesn't love me. He's forgotten about me. Isn't that true? Have you ever been there? Yeah, me too. When heaven is silent, when you walk through things that are just so incredibly difficult. You know, when we moved to the USA, I mean, I felt the compelling of the Holy Spirit. I knew we were coming because God was moving us here almost 26 years ago. I knew he was moving us here. But I want to tell you, like some of our military families, shout out to Isabel watching from you're on deployment. Well done, girl. Well done. I want to tell you, just because God put you somewhere, it's not the good ship lollipop. That's just for a few of you who know Shirley Temple. Remember that? On the good ship lollipop. I know, I love Shirley Temple too, man. Who doesn't even know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Yep, well, you know what? It's the benefits of getting older, though. You know a lot of things, right? But when we moved to the USA, oh yeah, we knew. We deemed it necessary. The Holy Spirit had led us, compelled us. But here I was with three little kids and no one I knew. No family, no support system. I promise you, when everything is taken away, that when the rubber hits the road, I had three little kids going, when we move back to Australia. I remember a particularly difficult time driving around Virginia Beach, no kids in the car. I remember crying and saying, God, I hate it here. Some of you are there right now. I hate my life right now. I never asked for this. I don't want to be here. I remember Steve taking a phone call from a friend of ours, and he was saying to this friend of ours, you know, Sharon's having a really difficult time. And this friend of ours said to him, well, you're caught there. Tell her to get over it. Yeah. Are they still friends today? Yep. People say things. Truth is, I wanted to get over it. I wanted to be just happy clappy here. God had called us here. I knew that. But these were my circumstances and I didn't like it. And haven't we all? Don't we all find ourselves in circumstances that we didn't ask for and we don't like? And so it's hard, and we think, then God mustn't be in it, when God is really in it. Because the third thing that the Apostle Paul says is, my life is not my own. I count it. In fact, he says, I count my life as nothing. I'm like, whoo, that's a big statement, isn't it? When we're all busy doing Instagram and look at my perfect life and isn't this amazing? Again, I'm not dogging Instagram. But we have the Apostle Paul, one of the early church founders, going, my mission is Christ. And can I tell you, church, our girls, our team, we have felt that deeply. Because as a church, our mission is Christ, isn't it? See, I found myself, I can't just get over this. I had to yield my heart. That tantrum that I was throwing, God was saying, 25 years later, I'm going to mature you. You're going to be a different person. I stand here a different person. 25 years later, I love Virginia Beach. I can't think of any place better to live. But Christ, the Holy Spirit, had to do a deep work in my heart. Oh, he led me here. But it was hard at times, just like your life gets hard at times. And what do we want to do when life gets hard? We want to exit stage left. Get me out of here. It's hard because I'm not supposed to be here. But I promise you, the same frustration you feel here, you'll feel there. Because God is at work in our life. And when we understand that we are here on his assignment, we can stand with Paul and say, yep, my life is not my own. As Christ followers, we've been bought with a price. We're on his time. We're on his mission. And so through my tears and my anger and my frustration, I just had to let it all go. Lord, my life is in your hands. True surrender. Where you just realize, Lord, you have every ounce of me. Maybe you're gone through a relationship crisis, a divorce. There's a child that's just difficult. A business that is just hard, hard, hard. Health situation. Finances that you just don't know. It just doesn't add up. It felt right a little bit ago, but now it's hard. And I just want to say, friend, I want to remind you today, my life, Lord's in your hands. Give me the courage and the grace as I lean into you. Show me, Lord. God moved us to the other side of the world. And honestly, there was a moment back then where I'm like, well, why? Because Sydney's actually really great, you know. But now 25 years later, I see from a different vantage point. I see my kids. I see grandkids. I see our church. And I go, Lord, you are too good to me. You know, I have a grandmother that is still living. She's 102. And she is feisty. In fact, she was complaining to my mom the other week. She's at the age of 99. She went into a, nursing home facility. And she was complaining to my mother how everybody comes and steals her stuff, because, there's not a lot of other things to think about. So you just think everybody's taking your stuff, And so my mom says to her, Mom, because it's her mom, Mom, you just don't trust anyone. And she says, oh, I trust Sharon. I'm like, oh, that's funny because I live on the other side of the world. But let me tell you something. I love being a grandmother because I had an incredible grandmother. And I know the influence and what she has done for the course of my life. At 61, I still have a grandmother living and I love her. But let me tell you something. A couple of years ago, she was turning 100 and it was COVID and the world was shut down and Australia even more so. I'm telling you this because our lives are in his hands. And so I was praying, Lord, I really want to see my grandmother for her 100th birthday. First of all, be really great. Could she stay alive till then? Because I want to see her and that's a pretty landmark birthday. But, when you're in your 90s, well, truth be told, any one of us, we don't know when we're going, right? But when you're up near 100, the finish line is pretty close. And so I kept saying, Lord, please, I just be great. And then I'm like, Lord, Australia is so shut down, no one can get in. And this is what I prayed, Lord, I just trust you. You saw fit to bring us here. This is something in my heart. And I would love to see her. And you know what? Crazily enough, because that's how God works, and I'd like to think he did it just for me, but he did it for a lot of other reasons. The mandates got lifted, and we got to be there. Steve and I got to be there to celebrate my grandmother's 100th birthday. Wow. We got to sing happy birthday to her. But listen, that's not the end of the story. Because when she was turning 101, Steve got invited to speak in Australia. And so we got to be there for her 101st birthday. And then this past April, Steve got asked to speak again. Two separate weeks in two separate states with a week that was free in the middle. Guess what landed on the week that was free in the middle? My grandmother's 102nd birthday. You know what I've realized, church? You can't make this stuff. You can't write the story if you tried. I'm here to tell you, when your life is yielded to the Lord Jesus, 100%, God, my life's yours. May I glorify you in everything that I do. See, Sydney McLaughlin Lavroni writes, when I fully surrendered my life to Jesus, when I realized I ran for him, He gave me the gift. He compelled me to run. There were challenges along the way, but when my focus became glorifying Jesus in my running, something massively shifted in me. It took the focus off of me and onto Him. I run for Him. Church, can we say that about our lives? We don't do 400 meter hurdles, but we're running a race, right? She even quoted Eric Liddell from Chariots of Fire, "God made me fast. And when I run, I feel His pleasure." Church, when do you feel His pleasure? You know, every year we have a devoted conference, and every year as we plan it, oh, I feel His pleasure. And then when we gather as women, oh, I feel His pleasure. That's something that God has called me to do, and I feel His pleasure. But what's in your world? He's given all of us gifts. When do you feel His pleasure? Go for it, friend. Go for it. Because the Apostle Paul goes on to say that I would finish my race. Everything He's asked me to do, I want to do. Don't you and I want to do that too? I want to finish my race. I want to complete every task that the Lord wants me to do. You know, Steve and I started this when we were teenagers. We met at the age of 17. We got married very young. We thought we knew everything. I mean, we got a handle on life. We know. Now in our 60s, I'm like, oh, we don't know. We don't know. We don't know. Some things, a couple of things, we're really certain of. But a lot. But what I want to challenge us all with, including me, run your race. See the finish line so that you finish well. Now you can be sitting here thinking, well, gosh, does that mean I have to do. No, church, I'm not saying that. When you go to work on Tuesday, bring the very best of who you are, Christ in you. That's running your race. That coworker that drives you to... Then we have to go in. Holy Spirit, I need you, because I'm going to punch him in the face, kick him in the shins, and then do whatever else. Because I can't take him anymore. That's what you have to do. It's Christ in you. Is your life bringing glory to His name? I feel deeply challenged. It can be in the little things. I told the women a number of months ago, I caught an Uber, and it was a 10-minute Uber ride. This beautiful African-American girl picks me up, and sometimes in an Uber, people are chatty, other times they're not. So I just started asking her questions, and it turns out that she'd moved from Nigeria 4 years prior, because I could hear an accent. And I said, "Do you have any kids?" She said, "I went through a horrible divorce and I had to leave the country and my kids are with my husband." And as we pulled up, she put out her phone and she said, "Look at them." And as she showed me the picture, she started sobbing. I mean, sobbing. In fact, I can't unhear the sound of a broken-hearted mom. And I just did what I thought to do at the moment. Said, "Can I pray for you? Do you go to a church? Are you part of a faith community?" "Yes, I am." And so I reached forward and touched her shoulder, and she jumped, and then I realized, oh, you're not really supposed to touch the Uber driver. You know what I mean? That could be a little. And I just prayed for her. And I prayed, "Lord, you can do a miracle here. I can't, nothing I can do. But Lord, you see everything. Everything about this situation. You can do something. You can make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way, because that's how God works. Because hasn't He done it in your life? As I can tell in my life." See, seeing my grandmother for 100, 101, 102, when I live on the other side of the world, it's like, God, how do you do that? I know. Let me give people the gift. My faith journey is helping people understand, did it for me. He absolutely would do it for you. But I want to encourage all of us as we get older There's a generation coming behind you that want to see a generation that stays the part, that finishes the race. Paul, tell me how, when you walked through that divorce and it just was so, please tell me, how did you keep your faith and how did you raise your kids? When business got really, really hard and it was like all hell was breaking loose and you have a chance to either kind of, you know, just maybe do things a little bit like you shouldn't or stay true to the principles of the Word of God. How did you stay true to the principles of the Word of God? How did you stay married when it was really hard and you had a difficult child? How was that? Or that health crisis that hit you, how did you walk that journey? Tell us, because we want to know. We want a faith that's tangible, that's real, that's authentic, that we can grab a hold of. Because one day, friend, we're going to be running that 400 meters relay. And the baton is going to be passed. And I pray as we pass it, we're yelling from the sideline, go, baby, go. Go, baby, go. You know, my kids are all grown adults. They have families of their own. Alyssa's preaching today. Josh preaches here. Sam preaches in Texas. And you know, I'm just blown away. For many years, Steve and I were the teachers. We were leading. But now, they're teaching me. I listen to their messages when they speak. I'm like, whoa, that's profound. Dang, you guys are good. Because I remember those messy, wonderful kid-raising years. And yet God was at work. And so now I get to come up. My finish line's a little way away. I figure I'm going for at least 95, so that's 34 more years. And then 95, I'll reassess to whether I want to go for 100. I'm figuring I'm going to kind of do it like that because I've seen my nan at 102. Whew. You know, it can be rough, huh? But some of us are hanging on to stuff and we don't want to see the next generation run further, faster, higher, brighter. And yet that's what we're called to do. See, the Apostle Paul said, I want to finish every task because 2024, there's going to be churches everywhere and I'm laying the foundation. And friend, I've come to realize, whew, there's generations coming behind. I was here not for me and Steve. For generations here and in our family. Fifth thing, Paul says, I want to give the message of his grace. His grace is sufficient. His grace is proved time and time again. Like Josh said earlier, he's got you. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Steve was talking about me driving and he was the passenger and that I was going too fast in the towns. Which I was, I'm not gonna lie, I was. But I will tell you, Steve is a very nervous passenger. And I know, you know, I said, Steve, why don't you just go to sleep? And so he went to sleep for a little bit, and then all of a sudden I hear this, ugh! I'm like, hon, it's great, I got it. Do you know there's deers on the side? Look at the sun's going down, you know. Welcome to married life. But Steve is just like all of us. We want to be in the driver's seat. We want control. When you hear me say, yield your life 100%, you're like, oh, no. All the control freaks are like, ah. But the Apostle Paul would tell you, remember, the Apostle Paul was killing Christians. A Jewish man lived to the law. The Jewish law, killing Christians. When I was in such opposition to the message of the gospel, Jesus showed up. Oh, he showed himself so real, I could not deny it. When I didn't deserve it, Paul would tell you, his grace. I didn't deserve the life he called me to. I can say that too. This life I've been called to live, I couldn't have dreamed this up. I couldn't. But that's what he's called you all to. What's the Holy Spirit compelling you to do? Maybe he's telling you, hey, you need to be in church every week. You're in a community group. They're the people that are going to walk with you through the really tough times. Pray as a family at night. Pray with your spouse. Turn worship music on in your home. Friend, it is a lot. Because I'm telling you, there's a lot of opposition. But his grace, his mercy and grace, in the trouble that you find yourself in, if you lean into him and go, Lord, where are you? I need you. Not why, Lord. I need you. Sydney talked about running her race far beyond gold. She loves running. She said there is freedom now that she never knew before. And isn't it interesting, church, when she understood, hey, my life's in your hands, Lord. I'm here to work hard, do the very best I know to do, but at the end of the day, I'm here to bring glory to you. See, it's not like we just sit down, put our feet up and go, okay, God, have your way. No, we're out there sharpening our skill, bringing our best work to our employer, bringing our best parenting to our kids. I know the days are long and hard. I know, church. But Lord, thank you because your grace is sufficient. It's on me. So isn't it interesting when she understood that she broke the world record? And you know, she snatched 2 golds in the 2024 Olympics. But since about 2021, she broke the world record the first time. Since then, she's broken her own world record 5 times. Because she understands, my life's not my own. The Holy Spirit has led me to run. Oh, lots of trouble, can I tell you? But my life's in his hands. I mean, I'm here to bring glory to him. And I'm here to finish my life well. And what would she say to us this morning? His grace. His grace gave me the rhythm to do life. I think that's why the Apostle Paul could write from a jail cell. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, we're like, great. But the last part of the verse is the clincher. According to the power that works in me. See, 25 years ago, I was throwing a tantrum. Why? Too hard. Now, 25 years later, friend, God has done a deep work in my heart. He's grown me up. And I understand. Lord, your grace. Your grace is so sufficient. I thought about, you know, if the Apostle Paul was here today, what would he say? This strong, incredible man. And you know what I think he'd say? Church, he came for me. He came for me. He came for me when I was so far, so antagonistic, so against this message. Jesus came for me. I want you to think about that because I remember when he came for me. And I cannot imagine what would have happened if he didn't. Many of you are sitting here today and you say to me, Sharon, I remember when he came for me and I can't imagine where I'd be without him. But some of you are sitting here today and you are like, I don't know if he came for me. And I'm here to remind you, friend, oh yeah, he did. Well, I didn't get a bright light like Paul. Yeah, me either. But he got my attention anyway. And today I believe you're here because he wants to get your attention. For some of you, you've been struggling with your circumstances. Well, if God is for me, I've heard all this. Where is he? Friend, he's reminding you today he's with you. His Holy Spirit is, you're here on assignment. Can we just settle that? You're here on purpose. God has placed you in this part of the United States on purpose. Settle that in your heart. Oh, but this, it's trouble, it's hard. Yeah, hard isn't bad. Hard is part of doing life. Remember, surrender it all. Lord, oh, have your way. Have your way, Lord. I want to finish well. I want to hand down a testimony of faith to the next generation and remind them His grace is sufficient.